I personally look forward to the OC Kosher order every month. So I hope you guys do also. And the learning, of course. So I put on the source, I put on the flyer, the topic, thankful to be here, time to go. Because in just over a week, whether we'll be eating turkey or not, it'll be Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving, it was founded, you know, to give thanks for this new land, to give thanks for America, the pilgrims and the Native Americans. The Native Americans. This is on recording, so I have to make sure I get it all correct. The pilgrims and the Native Americans and all that good stuff. And they had a Sudas Yom Tov, so therefore we have a Sudas Yom Tov maybe. And I think it's a good time to think about the question of thankful to be here, time to go. Is this the place we're supposed to be? Lav Dafka, San Diego, but Lav Dafka, America. But just outside of Eretz Yisrael. And my goal is not to have an emotional discussion, because if that was the case, so then we could wrap this up right now, bench and leave. I'm sure many have heard about the statements that Kanye West made that were very anti-Semitic. And then this past Saturday night, Dave Chappelle, he had the monologue on Saturday Night Live, and it started like he was like looking down on Kanye West, and all of a sudden he's on his own anti-Semitic rant. And so even though people are speaking out against it, it's scary. It's on TV. You can find it on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing. And there weren't a lot of boos in the room. I only heard laughter in the room. So it's like a scary thing. But I don't really want to speak about that today. I really want to speak more about the sources. What do the sources say? What do Chazal say about us staying outside of Eretz Yisrael or going to Eretz Yisrael? And so I told you that I broke my rule for this, my 3-page source sheet, but I thought it was well worth it. Because one of the things, when I was in college, I got a minor in Jewish studies. And one of the things that we learned about in Jewish studies is that this question, you know, should we be here or there, is not a new question. This question is actually goes back a couple hundred years. And this question actually made big waves in the Jewish world. So in the late 18th century in Germany, there was something known as the Haskalah. The Haskalah was the Jewish Enlightenment. And so they tried to do this balancing act. Are they German Jews or Jewish Germans? And so they really wanted to balance it perfectly so they could be German and Jewish at the same time. And really what that meant was embracing more of Germany than it did of embracing their Yiddishkeit. And they made, this really led to Reform Judaism. Reform Judaism made 3 major changes to their hashkafa, to their view of Judaism. One of them was they changed the name from synagogue to temple. There no longer should be a temple in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. The temple should be here. And that's when you hear someone talk about temple, that was actually started in, Germany. Also, they changed a part of the davening to German. They said no more Hebrew. Hebrew is archaic. We're going to use German now. And the last thing they did was they actually took Jerusalem, they took Yerushalayim out of the Siddur. So one of the coolest things I've ever found, I search for this stuff all the time, and typically I find nothing. One of the coolest things I ever found were these photos on the first page. And these photos come from the first Reformed temple in Hamburg in Germany. And so you see on the left side, it says they're the Neuen Tempel Bereins. They're the new temple in Bereins. And so they gave themselves that name temple in the quotation marks because they're changing the name. They were doing something. They were reforming themselves in a way. And as I looked through, one of the other degrees I got in college was a degree in the German language. So I was looking through it, and I was reading through it, and it's very cool. And one of the things I found was it's true. Everything my teachers taught me in Judaic studies, my teachers in my German studies helped me verify. They took Jerusalem out of the Siddur. If you look on the right side of the page, so it says in Hebrew, it says Seder Kriyas Torah, and here it has what you should say when the Torah comes out, and it says the line Se'u She'ayim Roshechem, which is a line maybe you're familiar with. We use it on like Simchas Torah when we're putting the Torahs back. We talk about how the gates should lift up their heads. They should open up. They should accept the Torahs back. Se'u She'ayim Roshechem. What line do we use? We use a paragraph, Vayhi b'nesoa Aron, when the Aron was traveling. And we have a line in there, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah devar Hashem Yushalayim, that when from Tzion, from Israel, is going to come the Torah, and the word of Hashem is going to come from Yushalayim. They took it out. They took it out. They totally took Jerusalem out of the Seder, because they no longer wanted to aspire to be there. Their only aspiration should be wherever they were. And in a sense, we actually live with the same tension. After we do Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning, so what do we do before Musaf? What do? We say a tefillah for the welfare of the United States government, and then we say a tefillah for the welfare of the state of Israel. So we're kind of living with the same tension in a way. So first I want to look at reasons why maybe we should pack up right now, we should go to Israel. Then I want to look at reasons why maybe we should stay put right where we are. So the first reason, if you look at the second page, is a Gemara in Kesubis. And the Gemara in Kesubis says, Tanan Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Le'olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael, filu be'ir shuruba goyim. A person should always live in the land of Israel, even in a city where the majority of people are not Jewish. Va'al yadur b'chotel ha'aretz, filu be'ir shuruba Yisrael. And they shouldn't live outside of Israel, even in a city where the majority of people are Jewish. Shekol adar b'aretz, Eretz Yisrael doma kmi sheyesh lo elokah, because anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if they have a god. V'kol hadar b'chutzal ha'aretz, anyone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, kmi she'ein lo elokah, it's as if they don't have a god. Feel free also if you're hungry. And this is actually a Gemara that we saw recently in Daf Yomi. I was able to teach the last parak of Kesubas in Daf Yomi, which is, it's a fascinating paragraph. It talks all about Chazal's love for Eretz Yisrael and the ways they used to go out of their way to be there. And it's kind of a harsh Gemara. That is, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have a god. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you don't have a god. And when I was thinking about what this Gemara is trying to say, because there are plenty of people, I mean, where is this Gemara written? It's written in the Talmud Bavli. And the Talmud Bavli was written outside of Eretz Yisrael. So are we saying that it's a bunch of kofrim with no god, they don't have any god, and they wrote a Gemara that we learn until this day? Probably not. I think what they were trying to say is it's sort of an environmental thing. The environment you put yourself in, it has a big influence on you. I went to Rutgers undergrad, and in the summers I used to go to Camp Morashah. And as much as I hung out with Jews in Rutgers, I davened three times a day in Rutgers, I learned Torah in Rutgers, you can't compare it to being in a Jewish camp, where there's just so much influence pushing you towards doing more mitzvot and learning more and everything like that. So the environment really, really has a big impact. Even I was thinking about it when I was learning in yeshiva in New York. So Washington Heights is a great place. Or Yeshiva University is a great place. Washington Heights is less of a great place. Yes. I was just making sure you're all listening. Yeshiva University is a great place. Washington Heights is less of a great place. But then I went to Gross for a year. I went to Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshiva University in Eretz Yisrael is a great place. And Eretz Yisrael is also a great place. You order a pizza for delivery, and what do you get? You get a guy in skin-tight blue jeans, a leather jacket, on a motorcycle, with his tzitzis flying. And you're kind of worried that they don't get caught up in the chain and, like, you know, damage him and hurt him or something. But there's just that influence about it. So I think one major reason why maybe Eretz Yisrael is preferable is because of that environment. There's just so much there. When you are in Eretz Yisrael during Yontiv, during Chol Hamoed, during Hanukkah, the buses wish you Chag Sameach. Yeah, they say it on the bus. It's an amazing thing. You couldn't do that here. You would get sued. But it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing environment. Reason number two is the Zohar says in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Vayera, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single land to a malach to oversee. So every single land has some sort of ministering angel, and they are watching over the land at all times. Except for Eretz Yisrael. It says that Eretz Yisrael is under his own watch. He doesn't give it up to anybody else to look after. He watches it himself. And so therefore, yeah, we have all these stories that, like, it could only happen in Eretz Yisrael. It could only happen in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe Taka, it's true. It could only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Kriyas Baruch Hu is giving special attention to Eretz Yisrael. He's ensuring that these things do happen. And the last reason comes from the Rambam. The Rambam, also quoting from this Gemara at the end of Kesubas, he says, Gedolei ha-chachamim, the great sages, hayu menashkin al-tchumei Eretz Yisrael. As soon as they entered the land, they would get down and they would and they would kiss the ground, Umanashkin, Avanah, and they would kiss the stones, Umagalgalin, Alathara, and they would roll around in the dirt, V'chenu Omer, and that's what it says in Tehillim, Ki Ratu Avadecha Et Avanah, Veth Afara Yechonenu, that your servants, they desired your stones, your rocks, and they loved your dust. So there's just something, there's just this love for the land. There's just something we seek to be there all the time. And so maybe we should, maybe that's just a reason to be there. What, you got to be in a place you love. I ask anyone why they moved to San Diego. Probably because they loved it. There's something so nice about it. So Eretz Yisrael has a lot of the nice things about it. I got to say, I've actually haven't felt as guilty not living in Eretz Yisrael as I have living here. Because there's just something about the hills and the highways and everything about it that is like very Eretz Yisrael. And so like it makes me feel a lot as if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, but I know that I'm not. And so you get all that beauty, plus you get being in Eretz Yisrael mamish. So that's three reasons why maybe we should move to Eretz Yisrael. And on the second page, I have three reasons why maybe we should not move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam, one halacha earlier, says that it's aser letzeis me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz la'olam. You can never leave Eretz Yisrael. Ella, the exceptions are l'mo Torah, to learn Torah, o lisa isha, to get married, o lahatzel min akum, to save your property from a non-Jew. Then he says v'yachzer la'aretz, but once you save it, you have to go back. But then he says v'chein yotzehu l'schara. Someone who needs to make a parnasa, they can live outside of Eretz Yisrael. And I think it's well known that making a parnasa is the hardest thing about living in Eretz Yisrael. They say, how do you have $1 million in Eretz Yisrael? Mm.
Start with $2 million?
Start with 10. Oh, right. You start with 10, or you get an American job, right? but it's very hard. Yaf and I were looking, right after Gruss, we were looking to go straight back to Eretz Yisrael. We sat down with Nefesh B'Nefesh, and they said, how are you going to make money? I said, I don't know. I'm a rabbi, and everyone else there is a rabbi. I said, that's a good point. You should think about it more. We thought about it more. So we didn't go. But it's very hard. It's very, very hard. So maybe you have to be somewhere outside of Eretz Yisrael where you can make the money. Another second reason is helping Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's known that the Lubavitcher Rebbe never once stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. He never went to visit, he never went anything, because Chabad is very big into learning the Rambam, and he knew the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. And so, despite all the exceptions, he didn't want to go, even if he had to rely on a Bidi Evid, on a Kula, on some sort of leniency, he didn't want to go if that's what it meant to leave Eretz Yisrael. So he never set foot in Eretz Yisrael. And in this middle source, I actually have a quote from a letter that he wrote to a shliach in 1983, and the shliach was considering making Aliyah. And so basically the question was not as much should he make Aliyah, but why the Rebbe never made Aliyah. And the Rebbe talks about how he felt that it was his mission to spread and to strengthen Judaism, to spread and to strengthen Yiddishkeit to anyone who was disconnected. And he felt that the main place he was doing that was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so he actually uses the analogy, not in this quote that I have here, but he actually uses the analogy of a captain of a boat. And he says that when the boat's sinking, the captain goes last. So he saw himself as the captain, and he thought that he was doing the most meaningful work. And so he thought that if the day came that he maybe was going to make Aliyah, everyone had to go first, and he was going to go last. And this, I'm quoting you the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so maybe you'll say, okay, but I'm not the Lubavitcher Rebbe. But I think it's something that everyone can do. When I was the intern in Roslyn, New York, there was a family, the Goldman family, and they were as reform as they come, they would tell you. And what happened was their son got leukemia, their son got cancer, and he went for treatment, and the doctor happened to be a firm lady. And so she said, I know this great camp, your son should go to this camp, Camp Simcha. And so they sent their son to this camp, and he loved it. He loved the camp, he loved his counselors, and he went back a second summer, he went back a third summer. And they said that at one point, I think he was in middle school, and he went to one of his counselors' weddings, and he gets in the car after the wedding, and he goes, oy vey, what a schmorg! As parents who knew nothing were like, who is this kid? Did we pick up the right kid from the wedding? But they really, because of these everyday people, this doctor and these people at camp, these teenagers at camp, this family is now helping to run the shul in Roslyn. They're very involved in the shul in Roslyn. And lastly, one final reason maybe we should build up America, stay outside of Eretz Yisrael, is because we take it all with us. The Gemara Megillah Chaf Tes Amud Aleph 29a says that when Mashiach comes, b'meher b'yameinu, we are going to take with us the Batei Knessios, the Batei Midrashos. We get the Shuls come with us, the Yeshivos come with us. And the Kedushas Halevi says that Kal v'chomer, all the more so, Jewish homes come with us as well. He says, because in a shul, we do things, we do a lot of mitzvahs. Some are rabbinic in nature, some are Torah level in nature. But at a home, he says, is filled to the brim with mitzvos deraisa, with Torah level mitzvos. Because everything from the mezuzah on the front door, to raising our children, teaching them Torah, to learning Torah ourselves, it's filled with mitzvos deraisa. And so therefore he says, if the shuls come with us, if the yeshivos come with us, then our homes come with us as well. And so I just want to conclude, I didn't put it on the source sheet because I already used up my pages, but there's a great piece, and I can send it to you if you want. There's a great piece from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was, I quoted him at Shal Shudas. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Gush. He was the son-in-law of the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. And he lived this tension. He was born in Paris, France. And then around the age of middle school, his parents decided he wasn't getting the Jewish education he needed. They came to America. They went to Baltimore. They tried out Chicago. They landed in New York. And he was a Talmud of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And then he ended up going to Yeshiva University and learning under his brother, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, ended up marrying marrying the Rav's daughter. He got a PhD from Harvard, and then eventually Eretz Yisrael was calling, and he said, no, 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 no. 1996, he said yes. So 2 years after that, 1998, he gave the following sicha, he gave the following speech, the following shmuz in the yeshiva. He says that Parshat Vayeshev, which we're going to lean in a couple of weeks, starts off Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Migrei Aviv Be'eretz Canaan. The Yaakov lived in the land that his father lived in, and he lived in Eretz Canaan. And so Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron asks, why does it have to say both? Tell me he lived Be'eretz Migrei Aviv. Tell me he lived in the place where his father lived, or tell me he lived in Eretz Canaan. Don't tell me both. Why do you have to tell me both? The Torah is very precise on every single word. So if there's an extra word here, it must mean something. And Rav Aaron said that it's two separate desires. We want to live, A, where our parents live, where our family lives, and B, we want to live in Eretz Canaan. We want to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he said to these guys that you're going to leave this yeshiva. Some of you will stay. Some of you will go back to America. And when you go back to America, don't settle this tension. Don't say, okay, I'm back in America and this is it. He said, live with this tension. It should be something in your life. It should be something you think about, something that's present in your life. To quote his words at the end, he said, it's important that we maintain yearning and aspirations in personal growth, in spiritual growth, and in our pursuit of Eretz Yisrael. So I hope I gave you some points to consider, maybe something to talk about at the Thanksgiving table if you will be having a Sudas Yom Tov. And either way, I thank you all again for coming to learn, and please, there's a lot more to be eaten. So let's lock the doors. Nobody leaves until until it's gone.